We are back with another episode of App Stories. Today's episode is brought to you by Music Harbor and SetApp. I'm John Voorhees, and with me is special guest, Jonathan Reed. Hey, Jonathan.
Hey, John. Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for filling in for Federico. Federico is on vacation this week. This is the kind of thing that happens at Mac Stories every summer. You know, I was on vacation a week ago. He's on vacation now. And we are lucky enough to have Jonathan available before he heads off on one of his own trips to fill in and talk to everybody a little bit about watchOS 11. Because I don't know about you, Jonathan, but you know, because Apple Intelligence, although it is in beta 18.1 now, because it is not in iOS 18 or macOS 15 or iPadOS 18, those OSs I have found to be a little boring. They're not bad. They're not bad updates. They're just a little thin.
Yeah.
And the thing about watchOS 11 is it's usually the shoes on the other foot. WatchOS 11, most of the time, not always that exciting, especially when Apple hasn't added any kind of new hardware recently, like new sensors and that kind of thing to the hardware. But this year, I think watchOS 11 is really a pretty packed release, and I want to kind of dive into it all with you and kind of go through what we've got coming up for everybody.
Yeah, it's definitely the dark horse of the bunch. I think you always come out of WWDC thinking, oh, you know, watchOS, fine, yeah, a few things. But definitely diving into it over the last sort of month to 2 months, there's some really notable changes and additions that I think are really going to actually make a difference to regular users of the Apple Watch. So let's dive in. What do you want to start with?
Yeah, I think we should start with the Smart Stack, because the Smart Stack was a big innovation last year and maybe didn't completely fulfill its promise at the time. But I have found it in general to be really good this time, except that it if you don't get your settings right, it can be a little annoying.
Yeah.
But what is it that's coming to the Smart Stack?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you mentioned about the Smart Stack and maybe it feeling a little bit incomplete, because I think this feels like the sort of completed vision almost of what Apple was thinking about with the Smart Stack, which was of course containing widgets and a few little kind of live activities like timers and so forth, which was great. You know, it was nice and handy to do that last year. But what they brought this time around is two additions. One's more significant than the other, but the first one is live activities. And really, these work exactly the same as they do on the iPhone. And I say that because the great thing about it is you do not have to have an app on your watch for it to display a live activity. So if you start a live activity on your iPhone, it will automatically start in the Smart Stack on your Apple Watch, regardless of whether it's on your watch. And I think that that's a really smart way of doing it. You don't have to mess around installing apps to make this happen. It just works, which I think is a really well done implementation of it.
Yeah, I think so too. And it really kind of harkens back all the way to the original Apple Watch, when the apps were really being broadcast from your phone to your watch. And that technology is still there, and now Apple is using it in a different way, I think, which I think is really smart, because these live activities are kind of ephemeral, and they're also very simple in terms of their UI and what they're displaying. So I think it's kind of a perfect match for that kind of thing, more so than apps originally were back when, you know, the very first Apple Watch came out.
Yeah, and I think that's right too. And you can, of course, if you've got an Apple Watch app, if you've got an Apple Watch version of an app, the live activities can be a bit more bespoke. But really, there's not really a need for that. And I think that's why it works so well. I think that the way it's been implemented by default is that if you start a live activity on your iPhone, it starts on your watch, by which I mean the Smart Stack will launch. So if you start live activity on your iPhone and then look immediately at your watch, the live activity will be there at the top of the Smart Stack, but it will already be in that sort of smart stack starting position where the clock and the date are above the first widget, the live activity in this case. Now, this is, I think, maybe going to annoy some people, but you can refine every single app through the Apple Watch, in the Watch app on iPhone. You can refine every single app and what its behavior is when it has a live activity. So it can either display immediately, as I just described. You can also have it just appear in the smart stack, but only appear when you scroll up into the smart stack. So it still will stay on your watch face. Or you can just disable it completely. Now, as I wrote in the preview on Mac Stories, I think this is really great because you can refine every single app. And I think rather than having sort of a default setting across all apps, it gives you ultimate control over every app. And I think that's fantastic. But I think one way you have found it annoying, which I didn't actually, for some reason, I didn't find it annoying, but I totally see where you're coming from on this. And I think maybe this might potentially be annoying for others, which you find it a bit annoying in one way, didn't you, John?
Yeah, no, I really did. I mean, it's the customization requires you to go into every single app and make that adjustment app by app. And I kind of like it to be one list a little bit like the way the inputs work for shortcuts, where you can pick what your inputs are going to be for a shortcut that you're writing, and you can either select them all or select none of them. Or then once you've selected none of them, go back and select individual ones. I'd like something like that. I mean, the thing that got me is that I use this app called World Clock, which is really nice. And it automatically, I have it set up so that a shortcut automatically starts a live activity that shows the time in Rome in the dynamic island every morning at, like, I forget, like something like 7 a.m. or something like that. And I just use that as a way to kind of keep tabs on what time it is in Rome when I'm contacting Federico. And because I had that set up to go off every day at a particular time during the work week, I was finding I was looking down at my watch and wondering, why am I seeing the smart stack with the clock in it originally? You know, and it, because of the default setting was having everything on, I found that a little annoying at first. I think it probably is the right default to have it turned on, because otherwise it's not super discoverable. But I think it would be nice if there was an easier way to turn off, just to kind of bulk edit turning things off.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's not bothered me, but I absolutely appreciate that. And I think I can see how that might be annoying for other people. I think the discoverability, like you say, is good to have it turned on by default, but I guess the onboarding could be better. I think some people, I think the casual user will upgrade and update and then think, oh, what's this? Oh, how do I get rid of it? Oh, it's popping up every single time. How do I get to stop? And then they're going to have to dig into settings and find it. And that's a bit annoying.
Yeah, that was me, because the way I use the Apple Watch, I don't like use apps on my Apple Watch. Like, I don't go into the app grid very often. I use it to work out, I use it to get notifications, and I use it for the complications, but I don't go into apps very often. So, like, when I update my watch, I don't really pay much attention to anything, and I was genuinely surprised at the differences at first.
Yeah, I can see how that would happen. Because I think that links slightly to another feature, which is widget suggestions, which is something that is new and you can turn on or off. And I think weirdly, this is sort of done in a maybe not perfect way, because you can have the smart stack suggest widgets for you depending on things that you're doing. So for example, if you travel to another country, it might suggest the translate widget, which is very handy. You put that in your smart stack for you, in amongst your ones that you've already had pinned in there. But and this could be handy, and you can turn it off or on, and you can refine that by app, just like the live activities. But the weird thing about that is those settings are on the Apple Watch, not on the Watch app on the iPhone. So they are flipped. So that, again, not ideal. it's good that they have that amount of customization, which I'm, you know, I will say again, I really appreciate they're doing that. But I think the implementation maybe could have been a little bit more thought out.
Yeah, that, especially since they're very similar in the way, you know, they're similar types of settings, and to have them in two places, people are going to find them in one or the other, and then assume that those are the only settings, and that they're not just not, you can't do the other thing because they don't think to go look somewhere else for something as similar as whatever they first discovered.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think overall, both of them, good features, and, you know, as they work, you know, they work very well. But in terms of the customization, maybe could it be a bit easier to customize it overall.
This episode of App Stories is brought to you by SetApp, the app subscription service that offers dozens, in fact, over 250 apps for the Mac and iOS. SetApp users can get plans that cover only the apps on the Mac, only those for iOS, or both. With SetApp, users can install and use their apps as needed to tackle tasks like file conversion, coding, writing, emailing, editing, and working with AI. Plus, things like working with images, video, PDFs, and exploring various Mac maintenance and customization tools. Some of the most used apps on SetApp include the massively popular cleaner for the Mac called Clean My Mac X, a menu bar customization tool called Bartender, and the universal file converter Permute, plus the easy screenshot app CleanShot X. You can also get a VPN, a battery manager, manage your clipboard, tools for file management, password management, and a whole lot more. Essentially, SetApp saves you the time of researching apps and setting up subscriptions, making it easy to find and try new tools for your Mac and iPhone in a stress-free way so you can get things done faster and get away from that screen. Users in the EU might appreciate that SetApp has recently launched a beta of its very own alternative app marketplace called SetApp Mobile. EU iPhone users can subscribe to SetApp Mobile, install it on their iPhone, and browse and install the iOS apps available directly from the SetApp Mobile app, which includes a collection of iOS apps that's different from what's available globally. But let's get back to desktop SetApp, which is available worldwide. It's packed with amazing AI-powered apps that supports the use of major models like GPT-4o and DALL-E 3, and you can access those models in apps with your own API key if you want to, or get an AI Plus plan from SetApp. One of the AI tools that SetApp includes is called PDF Pals, an app that actually lets you chat with your PDFs. But you can also find apps to generate text, get real-time assistance in meetings, generate meaningful file names for screenshots, and a bunch more. If you haven't tried SetApp yet, you can go do it today for free for a 7-day trial, and then use the link in our show notes because App Stories listeners can get 20% off SetApp's most versatile Mac plus iOS annual plan. Learn more at setapp.com and be sure to check for that link in the show notes to get 20% off a Mac plus iOS annual plan. Our thanks to SetApp for their support of the show.
And then I think finally we could talk about the final Smart Stack addition is interactive widgets,
yeah,
which we've seen a little bit of it at last in the last watchOS update, which was, for example, on a timer. I believe you could pause the timer on the when it appeared as a sort of live activity in the Smart Stack. But these are now full interactive widgets, so you can have, for example, the big example that they give is that you could have a home widget and you could have a garage door with a button that opened and closed it. Pretty yep. Simple. And of course, there are many other widgets. Obviously, developers can tap into this as well. And I think this is, you know, that's great. The shortcoming on that is that Apple, I'm not sure if it's an actual hard and fast rule, but they specifically say in the developer information that they heavily suggest only using one interactive area, so one button on these widgets, which I feel is maybe underpowering this feature. So I'll be interested to see if developers actually include more buttons in that. But it, as a feature in itself, it's certainly a nice to have.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's a nice addition, and I think, you know, it's just handy for things like play pause buttons or setting a scene in a HomeKit type of app, that kind of thing. It'll come handy for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, of course, as Apple does every year, there's always kind of a structure to these watchOS updates that is pretty true to form year to year. I know Alex has talked about it in some of his previous watchOS reviews, and part of that is always health and fitness. And here this year, I think the big news is a couple of different things. The first of which I want to talk about is training load, because one of the things that I love about Gentler Streak is that it has this notion of a training load. They don't call it that. They have a graph that kind of shows an interpretation of your training load to keep you from overworking or underworking yourself as you're exercising, and, you know, from day to day. But as when Federico and I interviewed the founders of Gentler Streak, they mentioned that that's based on an algorithm that is pretty standard industry-wide. Mm. And I'm not surprised, because when I look at the training load graphs on the Apple Watch that Apple has added, they are very similar to Gentler Streak. And I do wonder, I think that Gentler Streak will be okay because they have some other features, and I know they're working on other things that go beyond what Apple is doing. But I do feel like Apple has kind of jumped in here, and this is a feature that a lot of apps have, that if you compare the visualizations of training load from app to app, you're going to find that they're quite similar, because I think all these companies are doing something very similar under the hood, although the UI is obviously a little different from app to app.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that this is very interesting to me, I looking at it and playing with it. And I'm currently going through a bit of a, should we say, fitness kick at the minute. I'm going to doing a lot of exercise. So this has been really interesting to try out and sort of measure my progress. And I think it's a really great feature. I think that what's interesting is that in comparison to Gentler Streak, which tends to sort of give as the app is called, some gentle suggestions of, hey, you know, you've been working hard recently, why don't you take a break today, or why don't you just do some gentle exercise, or you're looking great, why don't you have a big workout today? And it's done in a very gentle way. The training load and the language around it, when you look at the training load in the iPhone, in the fitness app on iPhone, it's a bit more sort of technical, and it talks very much about your 7-day training load against your 28-day training load, and your last workouts and signs of excessive fatigue and stuff like that. It's a little bit more, sounds a little bit more professional. And I think this is a little sign that Apple is leaning towards some more pro athlete features on the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of things missing in that maybe other apps like, there's a really good app called Athletic that does sort of pro training. And I've heard from a couple of people on Mastodon that these features are missing recovery, which is a stat that shows how you recover from an actual workout.
Right.
And I think that something like that might be introduced maybe next year or the year after. And I think that this is a nod in the direction of Apple maybe trying to push into a more pro area. I think that they have obviously, it's been well documented, but some features, some additions to the hardware they're maybe struggling to implement into the Apple Watch, like blood pressure and so forth. And I think that in order to sell the Apple Watch a bit more, they're now leaning into more of these pro features. And it'll be interesting to see in a few years to come how that pans out. But I think this is a really good feature. It's been working well for me so far.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that the recovery stuff will get there eventually. I mean, that's been a very popular thing in the last couple of years in particular. Like, there's this Whoop company that makes a band and other things that tracks that. And one of their things is one of their main selling points is their recovery tracking. And I really do feel like that is a pretty premium product that costs a fair amount of money and has a big subscription with it. I could definitely see Apple trying to take a bite out of that corner of the market with some kind of recovery thing. Whether that requires additional sensors or not, I don't know. But, you know, if you go into, you're right about this being a little more technical. I mean, it will show you what your training load is over a period of days, and it will show a graph of the average. And that average graph, whether it's going up or down, is what reminds me of what you see in Gentler Streak. But with training load, you can then tap into a particular workout, or you can tap into other information about your, you know, you can do 1 month, 3 months, 6 months. There's a bunch of different charts here. And it also breaks it down by all workouts and different types of workouts. So you can see, like, you know, maybe I'm running, my load for running is much higher than walking or swimming or whatever it happens to be. And that can help you kind of get a sense for where you might be overdoing it or underdoing it and try to balance out your workout load. So that's training load. The other thing that is also reminds me of Gentler Streak again is the vitals, which is measuring a bunch of different parameters. It's measuring heart rate, respiratory rate, wrist temperature, blood oxygen level, and sleep duration, which are all things that Gentler Streak also measures. And it gives you a sense for, you know, where your averages are and what your trend is. And you can see when you're above or below your typical range. And sometimes that can identify times when maybe you should be resting because maybe you didn't get enough sleep, or it may show you getting sick before you even realize you're sick, because I know that certainly has happened to me in the past with Gentler Streak, where my wrist temperature might be higher than normal and maybe my heart rate was a little higher or something like that. And then lo and behold, you know, a day later, I've got a cold or something like that. And I know this happened to Federico just like 2 or 3 weeks ago. He was on vacation and he didn't feel great. And then he looked at the vitals on watchOS 11. And sure enough, you know, he had a temperature and his heart was a little high, rate was a little high, and his respiratory rate was a little high. And as he started feeling better, those things started trending back to kind of normal ranges for him. And it's, you know, it's not really a medical prediction device, but on the other hand, it definitely does correlate to how your body is reacting to whether it's exercise or something like having a virus.
Yeah, this is definitely an interesting feature, and it actually pairs well with the training load. So when you look at your training load, it will below those sort of graphs for the training load, it will also show your vitals. So it is giving you sort of two sets of data to sort of compare, you know, your workouts and whether you're ready for another workout and what sort of workout you should do with, you know, how well you've slept overnight and, you know, how those vitals are working out. I think it's worth saying as well that Apple, they've not gone really into specifics, but they have said that these vitals are being calculated using data from Apple's Heart and Movement Study. And it's generating an algorithm using these calculations and using the data that it's getting from your Apple Watch. Now, other than that, we don't really know what that exactly is. But I think that their implication is that it's not just saying, oh, here's your average temperature. Let's put a minimum and maximum roughly either side of that. It's somehow coming up with a sort of intelligent way of working out your range. So it would be interesting to hear exactly how they're doing that, but we don't know for now.
No, we don't. I assume that it is something like it's collecting a lot of, collecting data from a lot of people and using that to help sort of figure out what your normal range should be based on both that data plus your own personal data and calculating whether that, you know, whether that should be a broad range, a narrow range, whether, you know, however that might be, is probably what's going on. I don't know, but you're right. They haven't really said it with any specifics. But yeah, I'm glad that this is on here, because this is something that I've used really every day in Gentler Streak for a long time, for a couple of years now. And it is useful, especially when you're looking at things like, what's useful about it is that this data was already there in the health app, but having it presented this way is a good way to get it all in one place and see how it correlates and really get a sense. For instance, you know, maybe I didn't sleep a lot last night and I should take it a little easier, or, you know, maybe I am feeling like, maybe I look at it and I think, oh, these are ranges are, this is kind of out of whack and I don't feel great today. Maybe I am getting a cold or something, and maybe I should just kind of rest a little bit or go to bed earlier, whatever it happens to be. So yeah, I've kind of enjoyed having this all available.
Yeah, for sure. And I think this is probably just the start as well. I think that they seem to be, I think there's an interview with Apple's health medical chief person, mm-hmm. Last week, I think it was, talking about how, you know, it's a good idea to watch your wear your Apple Watch in bed, as that helps your health data and get a better picture of you. And I think that this is another thing that I think that they are probably going to lean into a bit more to try and add more features down the line, more advanced features. I'm not quite sure what they would be for sleeping, but I think we could be seeing that in the next year or two.
Right, right. What do you think of the ability now, or that we'll have in the fall with watchOS 11, to pause the goals, you know, the closing of the rings, pausing the goals, and I guess also setting custom goals on a per day basis?
Yeah, I think the custom goals is great, because as I mentioned in my preview, my exercise tends to be different on Saturdays and Sundays, on weekends. Mm-hmm. I don't really get a chance to work out. I might get a chance to do one workout, but it's, you know, it's family time, you know, I'm with my wife and with my daughter. We are doing active stuff, but, you know, if it's good weather, we're in the park and so forth, but I'm not really doing exercise. I'm not sometimes, right. Well, quite frequently don't close my Move and my exercise ring because I'm not triggering it enough. So it's good to be able to lower that to an achievable level at the weekends. And I think that these two features, I think they've been requested for a long time. Yeah. But I think what it comes down to is the fact that because we've previously not been able to pause our rings and adjust our weekly targets or daily targets, we keep getting notifications saying, oh, you can still do it. And there's that mental load of like, oh, I haven't closed my rings. I haven't, you know, done this, whatever. And if you're just thinking, you know what, I'm going to have a lazy day, I'm going to turn, you're almost like, you are pausing your rings, but essentially what you're doing is you're just turning off the app. You're turning off your fitness app because you're thinking, I'm going to have a rest day today. Right. And I think that's really what it is. Apple have obviously phrased it in a different way. And I think the only other way that people might find it beneficial, if you're one of these people who obsessively tries to get certain streaks, you know, 50-day streaks of closing all your rings and so forth, and you get the little medals and so forth. And, you know, there's lots of people who do that. So if you're ill one day, I think it's only fair that you're able to pause your rings because you can't complete your rings in that day. So I think if you're that person, that's good.
It's both fair and it's probably a good idea, because I think that is, you know, that's like one of the things about habit trackers is that there is an insidious side to them where there is this potential for them becoming, you know, objects of obsession, where people worry more about the habit than actually whether the habit is good for them or not. And, you know, fitness is a good habit. Exercising is a good habit, but maybe not so much when you're sick in bed and you've got the flu or whatever. So I think it's good that Apple gives people an escape hatch for this. Yeah. I probably won't use this much because I'm very good at not caring about the notifications on my watch or my phone or anything. If I get that, maybe I'm slightly annoyed that I'm being told I can still do it. I'm lying on the couch having a snack watching a movie. But at the same time, I don't know. I mean, it's fine. I mean, there are days I get busy. I don't close my rings every day. I try, but I do like the fact that you can set them for different days, because having tracked all this stuff for a long time now on the Apple Watch, I do know that there are certain days of the week that tend to be the days when I close my rings the least. It's oftentimes Fridays for whatever reason. And I could easily change that goal. And I may do that. I'm going to maybe experiment with that over the summer.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think that, you know, it's good that you're able to ignore your notifications. But I think that people who are trying to get fit and maybe they're at the beginning of their, what Apple would call, I guess, their fitness journey. And they are not so fit and they're really trying to get started and get fit. And it's right. difficult for them. And maybe they do a couple of good days and they're working out and then they're, you know, have a day where they're just, you know, motivation is not coming to them and they take a bit of a pause day and then these notifications are coming in. And I think there is a certain thing to be said for how maybe psychologically it can be a little bit damaging to people. Yeah. I would, for me, it doesn't bother me. Like, I feel relatively okay with, I guess, how my fitness and maybe my body image as well, but there's going to be people who maybe aren't. And I think being able to just pause that or adjust the days means that you're not getting pressured all the time to hit the same goals every day, which can be a lot of pressure for some people. And I think that this is going to help with that.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure. That's absolutely true. And you know how some people are blind to ads on the internet, Jonathan, where they go to a web page and they just don't even see the ads anymore.
Oh, I'd like to be like that.
I'm like that with notifications. I literally don't see them. I don't clear my notifications on my watch. I don't clear my notifications on my phone. They're just there and I don't care about them.
I should probably it drives my wife nuts if I've got notifications.
Oh, she, I know,
has to clear them immediately. So that's
yes. Jennifer does that too, actually. Yeah. You know, she doesn't like having the even having the little numbers on the email, but she's not willing to turn the email numbers off either because she wants to know that something came in. So I don't know. You know, different strokes for different folks. Everybody exactly. does these things a little differently. So
yeah.
All right, we should move on and kind of wrap up with maybe, I don't know. Well, I guess we should just mention briefly that there are a lot of changes on iOS 2 to the fitness app, because you can do a lot of, you know, customization is a big theme this year with the Apple Watch and the fitness app, which although it's not strictly an Apple Watch app, it has the ability to change those tiles where you can have a bunch of different stats when you open up the app. And you can move them around. You can have different ones. There are some new ones. And I really like that because I can pick the things that are important to me and forget the rest, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, that's really good. And I like having, yeah, you can pick your certain, you know, workout styles if you do one regularly. So I cycle a lot. I don't run due to just an issue with my hip. So I cycle a lot instead. It's a low impact or non-impact exercise. So I like to have one of the tiles set as, you know, an overview of my week of cycling workouts. And so I can take a look at that and see like which days I've been hitting sort of certain levels and comparing to the rest of the week. And it's nice. And I would like to make the top tile a bit smaller with the rings, because that just takes up almost a third of the screen.
It does, yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I like it overall. I think it's great. It's certainly good to just be able to put what you like there rather than what Apple thinks that you want. So it's, yeah, a welcome addition. I think I'd like a few more tweaks, but I'm totally happy with the way they've done it. I think it's nice.
This episode of App Stories is brought to you by Music Harbor, the native iPhone, iPad, and Mac app that helps you stay on top of all of your favorite artists and recording labels. Let's face it, there's a lot of music out there. It's hard to keep track of your favorites. That is, of course, unless you use Music Harbor, which collects new releases from all the artists you follow in a chronological list. I've been using this app ever since it first debuted, and I absolutely love it. Unlike things like Apple Music and Spotify, Music Harbor doesn't show you algorithmically generated feeds. It just shows you your favorite artists and labels. That guarantees that you'll see absolutely everything new from the artists you follow. You won't miss a thing. And you can track and preview upcoming albums, music videos, interviews, live performances, and a bunch more. It's simple to get started by importing artists from Apple Music, Last.fm, or your local music library. And while it's super easy to get started, Music Harbor also has a bunch of customizable features for power users. You can filter releases by type, customize the layout and how it works, and a whole lot more. The app also supports the latest Apple technologies like widgets and app shortcuts. You can download and use Music Harbor for free, and it also offers an optional subscription for unlocking additional power user features. To learn more about this fantastic app, go to marcosatanaka.com. That's MarcosAtanaka.com. MarcosAtanaka.com to learn more about Music Harbor. And for a limited time, listeners of App Stories can get 50% off an annual premium subscription for their first year by using the link in the show notes. So be sure to check that out. Try Music Harbor today and get all the new music for your favorite artists and record labels. Our thanks to Music Harbor for their support of the show. Another feature that's coming in the fall that is one that I was really disappointed didn't exist last year, which is check-in from the watch, because check-in has been around, and I guess it was pitched initially as, you know, you're walking home from an event late at night by yourself, and you want to check in with a friend or a family member or whatever so they know you get from point A to point B safely. And it's very good for that. But in its initial implementation, you had to have a phone. You couldn't do it just on a watch, which made it very limited in its utility for people who are working out in particular. It's not, you know, it's not something that is limited to workout, because you can also start, a check-in from the workout app, but you can also start it from messages. But for me, I use it for working out, because I occasionally will go out on these long runs out in the forest all by myself behind this college nearby, and I'm pretty far from civilization. I will only see a couple of people most of the times when I'm out there. And I do just like having the peace of mind of doing a check-in, especially if my wife's not home, send her the thing, and then she would know whether I got home as expected or can check in on me, or, you know, there's various things. Like if you stop moving for a particular amount of time, I think it alerts the person who you've checked in with. So it's kind of nice having that, and I'm glad that they've added it to the watch.
Yeah, for sure. I think it is really good addition. I think I would like to see a few more little tweaks to it. So, for example, if you're doing a running workout outside, it would be nice to be able to set your destination so that the person who you're checking in with can see, oh, they're this far away from home, or, oh, they've got home. And so they're all good. And I think those sorts of things would be good, because I'm not quite sure. The only way it's going to sort of be triggered is by if you're just staying still for a long time, or your heart rate gets suddenly really over elevated, even though you're not moving. There's a few of the little triggers like that, which is good to have. But I think that some more refinements would be good in that check-in, but it's great to have.
Yeah, there's a lot of little things that I think Apple could do to make some workout things better. There was a day not long ago when I was out running and my watch died in the middle of a run, and I only had like half a mile to go to get home, and it would be really nice if your watch died, what you could go do is go into a workout and say, here's the route I ran, here's the time I got home. And it would just fill in the part that you missed because the watch died, right? Because that should be doing, that's just simple math. And because it has stored your routes from before, it could be pretty easy to, you know, select from, here are your top 10 cycling or running or whatever routes. It'd be pretty easy to go in and pick that kind of thing. But unfortunately, you can't do that yet. So I'm hoping that maybe someday.
Yeah, it's almost as if like Apple doesn't trust you. It, like you're going to sort of make things up. And it's like, well, why do you care? Like, if I make up runs, the only person I'm hurting him is myself by not doing the runs. Right. You know, like, well, I don't understand. What's the problem? It doesn't really matter.
And it's certainly not going to be as accurate, but I would still like the fact, because I know, I got home at roughly this time. It would be very easy to go in and just kind of get the credit for the full run, and you wouldn't have the heart rate information and other things, but at least you would know that day you ran this many miles and you were going at this pace and that kind of stuff. But who knows? We'll see. That's a wish for a future year.
We've got a couple of little ones to clean up, I think, on these additional features, haven't we? Well, I think classic watch faces is the final sort of bigger one, isn't it? The Apple loves a new watch face. And they have the main one this year is the Photos face they've updated, which is their most popular face, apparently, so they say. And it uses machine learning. That's what they've used. It's not AI, it's machine learning, in their words. Right. And it's more of an upgrade to the point where if you actually have a Photos watch face already created, it will present you with a upgrade button. I think it said upgrade or update button, where you can sort of update this watch face that you have to change the font and do other various features to it, to change the tint of the image and that sort of thing, which are these new additions that you can now do. And there's also photo shuffle. So it's essentially like the Photos lock screen that you can have on your iPhone on the Apple Watch. That's the easiest way to think about it. And if you like this sort of thing, you're going to love it. I don't particularly need it, so I'm not going to get much value out of it. But I think if you really love having lots of interchangeable images of certain people on your iPhone and you want to do that on your watch, then this is going to be great for you.
Yeah, no, it'll be very good for a lot of people. I have not tried it yet, so I don't really have any comment on it, but I have not been a user of Photo Faces in the past, so I kind of suspect I won't be in the future. Other things we've got the translation app, right? That's basically the same functionality as the iPhone app.
Yeah, it's great. I've used it. My wife's Spanish. I need to know Spanish words a lot, so I use this a lot. What can I say? It works well. It works just like it's basically the same as the iPhone app, but it's on your wrist, which actually makes it handier because you can just quickly, I have it in the smart stack. I can quickly bring it up and I can translate a word or get a family member of my wife's to speak a word in Spanish and it will translate back to me in English. It works good. Apple's translation algorithms, I guess, or what would you, the wording you would use for it, is it works well. And it's as on the iPhone, and it's great. I like it.
Very nice. And there will be an update to the cycle tracking app too, which is going to, in the fall, switch to gestational age and symptom tracking if you're pregnant. So this is going to change how that app works a little bit for people who are pregnant. Mm-hmm. And Maps is adding hikes, which is something that is kind of on the iPhone and the Mac as well, and the iPad. There are predetermined hiking routes for U.S. national parks. Hopefully that expands to other parts of the world in the future, and even in the U.S. I mean, U.S. national parks are great, but there are lots of other parks with hiking trails too. But beyond just the ones that are kind of built into the app, there are options to add your own trails and things like that, I think. So that could be good. And you can download maps. I guess if you have one of these trails, you can, at least on the iPhone, you can download them locally. I'm not sure if that works on the watch or not.
Yeah, it's a weird one. It syncs with your Apple Watch. So you sort of have to download the route on your iPhone and then it will sync it to your Apple Watch. So it's a strange one. You can save the route to your Apple Watch, or you can access it straight from your Apple Watch. But if you want to actually download it for offline usage, you sort of have to do it on your iPhone, and then it sort of reflects on your Apple Watch, which is not great, I would say. Like, I think it would be great to just have a direct download link on your watch. But hey, it works if you think ahead and download it on your iPhone, then it works pretty well.
There are obviously storage limits on the watch that they have to be cognizant of, I guess, but maybe over time, with more storage over the years, that will become something that can be added to it as a full-on download feature as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think quickly to jump back to the cycle tracking, if you're expecting now, or if you are going to be in the future, and you try this gestational age feature in the cycle tracking, do get in contact. I'm genuinely interested to hear how it would goes. And I have a 2.5-year-old, so it wasn't so long ago that my wife was pregnant, and certainly would have liked to see some of these features. So do get in touch if you end up using these features. That'd definitely be
interesting to hear it. All right, Jonathan. Well, thanks for joining me for this special preview of watchOS 11. I'm looking forward to it in the fall. As I've said to people, I've enjoyed using it a lot this summer. The battery life is a little rough, as it is with a lot of betas. It's not been optimized yet for battery life. And so I've found my watch draining more than in the past, but I've also really enjoyed especially the health and fitness tracking additions to this. And I guess the live activities as well. So we will be back in another week. I expect Federico to be back for the next episode. But until then, I want to thank our two sponsors for this episode. That was Music Harbor and SetApp. You can find the two of us writing at MacStories.net and on Club Mac Stories. Jonathan, where can people find you online?
Yeah, you can find me on Mastodon. I am Jonathan Reed at techhub.social.
All right, awesome. And of course, I am on Mastodon. Just go to johnvoorhees.macstories.net. You'll find a way to follow me there. And I'm on Threads and Instagram, where I am at John Voorhees. That's JohnVoorhees. Talk to you later, Jonathan.
I was going to say ciao, John, but I'll just say cheerio, John.